Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Our good buddy Chris Fedor from Cleveland.com joins us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline because, I mean, essentially, when you look at this, Chris, essentially this is a team that John Beilein knew was going to be a work in progress. He knew that, you know, the transition from the college game to the pro game. It seemed like what he didn't anticipate was the injuries, and so much so to the point that, as you wrote about in your column a couple of days ago, Bud, he walked off the podium, was kind of upset, and needed to, air some...
Longest question ever.
What's that? And air his grievances with some guys from the front office. How bad was it?
So I don't think it was as bad. I just think it was a situation, guys, that he needed. I think he had an idea in his own mind that he wanted to have everything in place for him and this team by October 23rd. That was the date that he had in mind. That's the opener against North. I think it was just a reality check that they're not going to be at the place where he wanted them to be by October 23rd. Because of some of the injuries that they've dealt with throughout the course of the preseason, because he's going to be tinkering with his rotation throughout the course of the regular season, and what he does on October 23rd is not what he's going to do on October 26th or November 8th or November 10th. And I just think he was trying to do too much too soon. It all came at him at once. And I think it's a situation where you can tell him all of these things, like the front office can tell him how hard it's going to be. And Brad Stevens can tell him how grueling an 82-game season is in the NBA. And Billy Donovan can tell him all of these things to prepare for in the NBA. But he had to feel it. He had to experience it. He had to go through it. And I think he had to feel the frustration of all of what he felt the other night before he could really regroup and reassess. And he said on the off day, him and the coaches got together, and they were talking through the next steps, what they need to prioritize going into October 23rd, because they can't do everything. They just have to do something.
Chris Fedor is with us, Cleveland.com, talking about the Cavaliers. Chris, Darius Garland, the other night they said his minutes were going to be limited, and he ended up plays about 25 minutes in the game, and Garland said he felt good after the game. What do we expect out of him to start this season? Because let's face it, I mean, a guy like him, That's a reason to go to the arena and hope this team, you know, can get better because of a young player.
So I think, Dustin, that was one of the points of frustration that John Beilein had, right? Like, he was looking at the Boston Celtics, and he was seeing how they didn't have their starters, but they had this system in place, and they had these foundations in place, and they had these principles in place, and it just continued to work because of the system. So you can just change the bodies around, and it's still going to find a way to work because that's where they are in terms of their development. And Beilein was looking at his and saying, I don't have those luxuries. I don't have that.
Sure.
And Darius Garland didn't play in summer league, right? So when the Cavs were trying to install some of the stuff that John Beilein was going to run both offensively and defensively, he didn't play. He didn't get to experience that. He didn't get to participate in his first scrimmage this offseason until 2 days before the preseason opener. He hasn't been there for full practices because the Cavs have been cautious with him. So I think when you combine the fact that Darius was somebody who had a lot of questions coming into camp, and then you don't get as many answers as you would like as a head coach, you know, that's part of the frustration. But I think the Cavs, I go back and forth on this because I think there's a case to be made that he's the starting point guard opening night, because I think the offense functions best with him. I think he has a great grasp on how to get guys involved. But at the same time, John Beilein said at the very beginning of training camp, I need guys to earn it. And if you have this kid who really hasn't practiced as much as you would like and didn't play in the preseason as much as you would like, can you really justify going with him in the opening night starting lineup at point guard, the toughest position in the NBA, where everything is going to be thrown on him? So I keep going back and forth on that. But my expectations for Darius as a player and the organization's expectations for Darius are very, very high, and I think you've seen flashes in the preseason of why that is.
Chris, you mentioned the injuries, and we've talked about a couple there already, but why don't you give the folks, the listeners, a rundown? Because I think right now people might not realize just how lengthy this list is. What do we have up to date right now as far as that injured list?
Yeah, so Ande is on crutches, but he was on crutches. He's been dealing with foot soreness. He had scans. So that's an MRI, and I think the Cavs are awaiting the results of that and what they're going to do with him moving forward. John Henson has had, I don't know, a variety of different injuries. There's a lot of frustration with John Henson because on the first day of practice, he kind of showed his potential, and John Beilein and some of the other coaches were starting to envision how he was going to fit. Maybe is he going to push Tristan Thompson to be the starting center? He's a shot blocker. He's a floor spacer. He can give us an element offensively and defensively that nobody else on this roster can at that particular position with his ability to both block shots and hit some from the outside. And then all of a sudden he doesn't practice because he's dealing with this groin injury. And John Beilein thinks he's going to have him in Boston for the third preseason game because his groin finally heals up. And he rolls his ankle in pregame warmups. And he's not able to play. And he's still dealing with that. Dylan Windler, he had an MRI recently. He talked to the doctors the other night before the final preseason game about the next steps and where he's going to go. That's been a point of frustration because they were envisioning Dylan probably as the backup to Jetty Osman at small forward, so that they didn't have to play Kevin Porter Jr. right away and throw him into the mix right away because he's one of the youngest players in the NBA and he's got to learn how to play and he's got to learn how to be a pro. And then Matthew Dellavedova has been dealing with a thumb issue. He's been wrapping his thumb throughout the course of the preseason, and he banged it trying to take a shot against Taco Fall in the preseason finale. John Beilein said today that Deli is fine, it's okay, it's probably a benefit because this allows him to stay off his legs a little bit. But anytime you have a thumb injury on the dominant hand of a point guard, it's probably not ideal.
Hey, Chris, let's talk a little bit about Kevin Love here for a minute. You know, Kevin is... You know, he's a veteran on a very young team, and
yeah.
and again, I know you talked to him about this a little bit about him. You know, whether he's happy to be here and all that. I mean, this is going to be the toughest year of his career. Let's face it. I mean, they're gonna win 25 games tops, I think, and I think he was frustrated even the other night in that game. How do you think Kevin's going to be? Maybe early on he'll be fine, but I think as the season goes on, he may be a little frustrated. What do you think?
So I talked to Kevin about this in a one-on-one that I did with him. We talked about leadership. We talked about the next step in his career. We talked about all the trade rumors and that kind of stuff. And he even admitted to me that there are going to be times that I'm going to be frustrated.
Sure.
I know that. I'm human. We're all going to be frustrated. If the losses pile up, if we're not playing the way that we want to, if we're not seeing results in a different kind of way, so I think it's very similar to John Beilein. You can tell Kevin Love to expect all these different things, and he can tell you that he's going to be okay with it, and he understands what this season is about, and he understands that it's more about the future for this organization and laying a foundation. But going through it is a lot different, and I think there are going to be times this year that everybody goes through this point of the rebuild where it's going to be very difficult. It was very difficult on a lot of guys last year when the Cavs had to go through it. So I think he wants to be here. I think he has accepted the responsibilities that have been placed on him from a leadership standpoint. He's cognizant of getting to the weight room early and getting on the practice floor as the first guy there so they can see it. But I think you're right, Dustin. I think it's... Going through rebuilds are never easy, and you can say that you understand what it's all about, but experiencing it is a lot different. And I think a lot of guys learned from last year, and the hope is that because they went through what they went through last year, they are going to be better prepared for the realities that this season is going to send their way.
Couple more minutes with Chris Fedor, Cleveland.com, covering the Cleveland Cavaliers. Cavaliers opening up the regular season next Wednesday against Orlando. Chris, you wrote about this a lot last year, and, you know, even prior to last year, but, you know, they had a lot of talent in those years. So, well, you said they'll be able to overcome some defensive inefficiencies. But last year in particular, communication was a big deal, and a big deal that really wasn't there. As John Beilein been emphasizing the communication and trying, and of course the injuries would play a part in this because you're not getting any continuity, but how much is the communication part of it emphasized here on the defensive side of the ball?
Very much so, Chico, but there's a challenge of that in of itself. John Beilein got together with a lot of his coaches and they talked about what calls are what in certain places. So when Memphis calls out some kind of a defensive coverage, what did the Grizzlies call that? And then when the Utah Jazz called that same coverage, what did they call it? And if it was similar for both of those, that's what the Cavs went with their defensive coverage name. But a lot of different places have a lot of different names that they call certain things. So Larry Nance Jr. was joking the other day that he was making defensive coverage calls as if he was with the Cavs last year. And the name that they had for something last year is obviously different this year. Learning that new language is going to be a challenge in of itself, especially when you're talking about missing some guys at practice or missing some guys in preseason. So it really is, in some ways, getting back to the basics and starting at square one. And there's just no way that the Cavs are going to be ready for everything that the regular season's going to throw at them on opening night. It's just not a realistic expectation. I think everybody has had that acceptance finally.
Well, and that regular season coming fast and furious next Wednesday against Orlando. Looking forward to your coverage all season long, Chris. Appreciate the time, buddy. Thank you.
You got it, guys. Anytime.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.